Windows open here. Okay. I'd like to speak a little bit about some of the topics of Yichud that we usually do in these kinds of shiurim to give us a little bit of a background in terms of the Gemara, the Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch, the basic premises of the Halacha. And then once we get a little bit of a better understanding of the background, to be able to plug in Halach Lamaisa, some of the shalas that really do come off pretty common in this area of Halacha. So the Sugya of Yichud begins in the end of Masechet Kedushin, in the end of the fourth parak, where the Gemara, the Mishnah already speaks about the Yichud of Yichud. So the Gemara raised the question, anonymously, where does Yichud come from? What's the source for the concept that if a person is not permitted to be together with a woman, if a person has an Isser Bia with a woman, how do you know you're not allowed to be in the same room? How do you know that there's an Isser to be in seclusion, to be together privately? So the Gemara puts a pasuk. The Gemara puts a pasuk in Pagavir A. That's somewhat of a complicated drosha, then misyachim ima, if you ain't toshah rayas, misyachim, very, very complicated drosha. And the truth is, if you just read the Gemara itself, you may walk away from the sugya thinking that Yichud is only mitzvah rabbanan, the Gemara is maybe only nasmachta, doesn't say exactly explicitly in the Chumash, v'dav Hashem v'mashalem, and Yichud is also. And maybe one would think that the whole institution of Yichud is only gzer mitzvah rabbanan. But the truth is that the Gemara in the second brach of Masechet Avodah Zarah, in discussing some of the details of Yichud, the Gemara does use the phrase Deraisa. The Gemara does invoke the principle of Deraisa as referring to Yichud. The Gemara, at least the simple meaning of the Gemara, seems to take it in the literal sense of the word, that there really is some kind of an Issa Deraisa involved in Yichud. Notwithstanding the fact that it's generally assumed that Yichud is an Issa Deraisa, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that it's not always Deraisa. There were three different levels, three distinct different Isurim of Yichud. So Yichud Deraisa, the Gemara says, only applies to situations such as Eshazish, such as Arayos. Yichud of Arayos is Deraisa. There's a woman who you're not permitted to marry because she's an erva to you, either because she's a certain type of a relative who's not allowed to marry, or she's an Eshazish, you're not allowed to marry her. So then and only then is Yichud Deraisa. Yichud with, what the Gemara says, Yichud with a Pnuya, Yichud with a single girl who you're permitted to marry, you just happen not to be married to her right now. So Yichud with the Pnuy, the Gemara says, was only with the Rabban, and that was instituted in the days of David HaMelech. The Gemara gives the historical background why David HaMelech instituted it, but that was only a Takhara Sokhav, it's only Yichud the Rabban. Then the Gemara says that the third level of Yichud is Yichud with someone who's not Jewish, so that was not even included in the original Takhara of David HaMelech. That was a much later Takhara, the days of Tamidah Hillel Hashamah. That was way, way, way down the line, hundreds of years later, because the end of Bayashani, there were guys at Yichud even with an Akum. So there are three distinct levels of Yichud. Yichud the Arayis is only Yichud with Arayis. Yichud the Rabbanon is either Yichud with a Pnuya or, of course, Yichud with a Goy would also only be prohibited with the Rabbanon. Usually it doesn't make much of a difference whether we're dealing with Yichud the Arayis or Yichud the Rabbanon. We're religious people. We try to keep all the mitzvahs. We try to keep Torah law and rabbinic law. So it might have to be about something that I said, something that Rabbanon. Well, it is important to know because sometimes certain shaylas come up, certain sveikas, certain machloksim come up. So we have certain klolim and psak halacha. When we're dealing with an issa deraisa, we tend to be more machmir. When we're dealing with an issa derabana, we tend to be more mekel. So it's always important to know, as a reference point, you know, what are we dealing with? Are we dealing with a deraisa? Are we dealing with a derabanan? So these are the klolim. The Gemara tells us that yichud with a deraisa is deraisa, yichud with a pnuya is derabana, and yichud with a goy for sure is onim a derabana. Oh, that's exactly what that's the next nikkud that we're going to mention. So that which the Gemara says, the yichud with a pnuya is only with derabanan. So it's unclear from the Gemara what type of a pnuya are we talking about. Are we talking about a pnuya who happens to be tahora, which wouldn't be so far-fetched in the olden days, in the days of Chazal, so the single girls used to also go to the mikvah, because then you have trumas, mefesheni, and kachim, and beit hamikdash, so then even single girls have to go to the mikvah in order not to be metame things. So when Chazal used the phrase pnuya, you can't really tell what kind of pnuya they're talking about. Could be they're talking about a pnuya who happens to be tahora. Or maybe no, maybe Pnuya means as long as she's not married, as long as she's not an Erva Mamish, just because she's a Nidah, that's also called the Pnuya. That's a further machlokes within this distinction between Yichud with Arayis being Deraisa Yichud of three being the Rabbanan, where would Yichud with the need of the picture? The Taisim Sanhedrin assumes that Deber Pasha, that Yichud with the need is the Araisa, that need is considered to be like an Erva or quasi like an Erva, and therefore Yichud the Araisa would apply to a Nida. Not everyone necessarily agrees to this Tosfos, but we usually assume this way. We're going to work with the assumption that Yichud with a woman who's already in Nida is a very serious problem, and we're not necessarily going to say, well, it's only Derabbanan, it's only a Pnuya, so therefore we can rely on this, that, and the other thing. Not so partial. We're going to have to work with the assumption that our Pnuyos, because Manazek, clearly the women are going to be in Nidos the Araisa, so we're going to be dealing with the potential problem of Yichud the Araisa. But there's three categories still doing this. The only problem is that 95% of the shahs that may come up for us may end up being in the most chometic category in the sense of yichud with a rais mamish, either with an esh ish or with a pnuy who happens to be a nida. Of course, the case that we're going to be most happy about is yichud with a goya. If you have yichud with someone who's not Jewish, so then that's clearly going to be the rabbanon. So there may be certain coolers that we may be able to rely on. When we speak about the Yisra Yichud, so the Mishnah already tells us that Yichud does not only mean one and one, doesn't only mean one man and one woman. That's not the only case of Yichud that the halacha prohibits. The Mishnah begins to talk about, what if you have more than one person here, more than one and one? What if you have one man and two women? So here the Mishnah says that's also a problem, that one man is not permitted to be Yichud with two women. Is that also the Araisa? That also meets the criteria of Yichud the Araisa? So that's the big... Well, that's the question. The Mishnah says the halacha is that lo yisach and other mishnei nashim. So it's unclear from the Gemara whether that's also included in yichud deraisa. Maybe you can argue that the yichud deraisa, the yichud is only one and one. Maybe the yichud of a one and two, so that we're afraid that he's going to be able to seduce both of the women, that both of them are going to be willing to be mezana with him. That's already somewhat more far fetched. So maybe that's only chashash min derabanan. So this seems to be a machlekes harishonim. The strange machlekes happens to be a machlekes in the beginning of Maseches Nida. The context of the sugya of Saita and Rishus HaYochet, Safi Tu, Rishus HaYochet, complicated, convoluted rayas from the Rishon in the beginning of Maseches Nida, but I can talk about the details right now. Bottom line to Machlekes Rishon, bottom line to Machlekes HaPoshkim, when we're dealing with a yichud, one man and two women, so do we have a right to say that, well, it's only going to be the Rabbanon anyway, so maybe we have a little bit more grounds to be made of. So that's something which is somewhat up to question. But in contrast to the Isser of yichud of one man and two women, so the Mishnah says explicitly that there's another case that seems to be the same, which happens to be mutter. The Mishnah says, what about if it's two men and one woman? So the Gemara says, Mishnah says that's not a problem. Two men and one woman, so we're not afraid that they're both going to fall in together again. The Gemara tries to explain why that's true. Why is there more of a cheshash with one man and two women rather than the case of two men and one woman? So the Gemara gives whatever reason, whatever alumnus what the Gemara's reason is. Bottom line, that's the thing. That's what the Mishnah says. One man and two women is an issa yichud, either derais or derabanan. Two men and one woman is not an issa yichud. So if the Gemara would have just stopped at that point, the Mishnah would have just stopped at that point, so that would have been a gevaldik kula. The problem is that the Gemara in Kedushin starts to chisel away a little bit of that kula. The Gemara says that b'med devar mamurim, that two men and one woman is mutter, that's to be dealing with anashim sheirim, dealing with religious, from people who are shabbatar and mitzvahs. But if you deal with prutzim, people dealing with people who are not so careful in the realm of arayas, so even when 10 men is going to be a problem, we're afraid they're all going to be mezana together, they're all going to cover up for each other. So if the Gemara would have just stopped at that point, it also would have been okay. You know, we're very religious people. Hopefully we're all kasherim. Anyone who's in the shiur? Nope. They eat the kosher.
What if one of them is a kasherim and one of them is not?
I don't know. Maybe we should be hanging out with the person who's the post. So we'll see in a second. We'll see. So comes the Gemara and says, oh, wait a second. Who constitutes a kosher? What's the kosher of this halacha? So Gemara says, Gemara gives you two examples. So two Amoraim, who are Heligat Tzadikim, Yisayim, Chassidei, Elia and Mamish, they are such unbelievable overcame the Yisra. The Gemara says, they're the Ksherim, but you and I, the regular portion of people, even though we're very religious, we're very sincere and everything, but we're not Ksherim for this halacha. We want to be a kosher, you have to be a real bona fide kosher. So there's a machlekes harishonim. What did the Gemara mean with this statement? So again, the Gemara is chiseling away at the Mishnah. It's always a chiseling. The Mishnah doesn't say booze. It doesn't say anything about kosher. The Mishnah just says that two men and one woman is a hefty yichud. So the Gemara says, well, that's only true if they're ksheirim, and the definition of ksheirim is very, very high. So there's machlekes and Rambam and the Ran, how seriously to take the end of this Gemara. So the Rambam took the Gemara and the Mishnah. The Gemara is telling you in a chinami that the only time the head for the Mishnah applies of two men and one woman is only if it's mamash and nashim ksheirim, and ksheirim means chassidei elyon and tzadikim gemurim, yirei shemai, unbelievable elyon. regular pashut shemitari mitzvahs do not meet the criteria, says the Rambam. Because they don't meet the criteria, so we're stuck with a missing yichud. So according to the Rambam, two men and one woman, l'maisa b'zman hazeh, is going to be a problem. And the Ram disagrees with the Rambam. The Ram says that no, that the Gemara just meant he has to say, that the Gemara said, I have to be such a halig tzaddik. As long as you're basically sharing with mitzvahs, you're not chashul arayas, you're basically, act appropriately, so that's okay. And you're considered to be a kosher for this halacha be'ikir hadin. But this is a big machlek. It's a big machlek. It's a shulchan aruch. Halacha le'maisa. What's the din? Bottom line, b'zman hazeh. Two nice from people. Two nice yeshiva guys want to be together with yichud with one woman. Is that mutter? Is it osur? So according to the Rambam, that's a problem because that doesn't count. Regular stam yeshiva guy is not necessarily a kosher according to the Rambam. So according to the Ram, so a regular nice guy, shomer Torah mitzvah, doesn't do anything inappropriate. So he's considered to be a kosher, and therefore there's nothing to be concerned with. So we usually assume mahakal on this. Ashkenazim are pretty makal on this. We assume the halacha. You're more closely opinion than Iran, that we assume that as long as the people are basically kshayim, they're not kashirim al arayas, then there's nothing to be concerned with. We'll leave out some of the gory details that the later post given later, the last 10 years or so, some of the criteria as to, okay, true, the Ramah is right, true, the Iran is right, but what's called kosher? What's called kashal arayas? What if a person participates in certain activities that are known I can't think of the perfect word, but not even shady. I mean, in the realm of arayas, I mean, the person does certain things, goes to certain forms of entertainment, uses certain types of...
Licentious.
I'm trying to avoid saying TV and internet. Can't you understand? So the more contemporary post can say, what if a person involves themselves in these types of activities which are... sometimes have connotations of a priestess to them, even though not Khalil being Chayish at this particular person. So if you say that person loses his Cheskes Kashrus, and now he's Aporet B'Arayas, potentially, and there's an Issa Yichud with two men and one woman, again, I'm going to reserve comment on that discussion. But maybe in the oven, that if a person is a Shemeter and Mitzvah, the person is acting appropriately, and whatever the correct definition of appropriate is, and then we assume Allah like the Ran, that he's called kosher, and therefore he doesn't have to be concerned if it's two men and one woman. If the person is really not acting appropriately, so that would be a problem.
Can't the question of the internet go either way?
I don't want to talk about that. I didn't come here to talk about that. Just because it appears in some of the modern day Svarim, that notion that if a person... and it does certain things, so he loses that status of being kosher. I don't want to get involved in that. So please, is this going online this year?
Right.
It's not going online. I don't know.
Online, yeah.
How many of them? Yeah.
What about one man and three women?
Oh, we can get to that in a second. So even though this is true that two men and one woman, the ikur din of everybody's kosher is really acceptable, it's not really a problem with yichud. Nevertheless, the Gemara itself gives a limitation to this. The Gemara says that this may only apply at a time when it will remain to be a yichud of two men and one woman. But what if you have a situation where it's two men and one woman, and there's a very good chance on the context of this particular yichud that in a moment's notice it may become one man and one woman. How could that happen? Well, what if they're baderach? What if they're out on the traveling together? So in the good old days, they had to run a little horse and buggy together, the two men and one woman, and it's very possible that they're going to have to stop the horse and buggy, the man's going to have to get out and go to the bathroom, and he's going to go off to the side, no one could see him. He's going to go 10 minutes into the woods to go to the bathroom, and then lo and behold, you're going to be stuck. You can have one man and one woman together. The Gemara says, if you have that kind of a setup, a derech, and you have a setup where the yichud could potentially become osur very, very quickly, so then you have to be careful about that. So you shouldn't even be together to start with. You can't have two men and one woman together, but derech. Let's say you have balayla. Let's say you have a situation where you have two men and one woman together, and it's in the middle of the night, so there's a good chance that somebody may fall asleep. So the problem is the wrong person may fall asleep, and if one of the men falls asleep, so then what's going to be left? You can have one man and one woman who are together, wide awake, and that's going to be a problem of yichud. So the Gemara says, that's also awesome. So even though two men and one woman is basically mutter, as long as they're ksherim, according to our definition of ksherim, but still, you have to always be afraid that if you have a situation of laila derech, so that's going to be a problem. Now, the emphasis is that the issue of derech, bizman hazeh, is probably not as much of a problem. That's kind of a setup of shema yipne echa, it's not as common. But the laila is very much a problem with man. That's so you have two men and one woman together. So although meikur din it's really mutter, but if it's balata, then it's a problem. Popkin points out that laila here doesn't mean teskechav. Laila here doesn't mean shkia either. Laila means man shena. Laila means a time when people go to sleep. So, what time do people go to sleep? So it depends on the situation. So I had the shadow last night. I had this in my house last night. So my wife went away somewhere last night, and my daughter was with her. They were. I knew they weren't coming back till for another 2 hours, and I was left with myself, my 7-year-old, my 3-year-old, and the babysitter, the Elzeret, the non-Jewish babysitter lived there. So the question is, was this going to be a yichid problem? So here it was, in effect, for the 3-year-old, probably Lomalach Ramayvah, we'll talk about that a little bit later, he's a little Baba Cheshben, but here it was basically a 7-year-old is good, is very helpful in Hukhuz Yichud, because he may be a Shemir also, besides being just two men. But even let's say he would have been 10 years old, he would have been even older. So the mice, it would have been two men, Shehirim, he's Koshal Arayis, 7 years old. You have two men together with one non-Jewish woman, so Lechor should be Mutter. What was the problem? The problem was Zman Shena. Well, it was Zman Shena, it was 8 o'clock at night. Yeah, but it was Zman Shena for him. I thought it was Zman Shena. I hoped it was Zman Shena for him. So here I was in a very, very, very difficult predicament, because on the one hand, I wanted to stay home for a little while. I didn't want him to go to sleep, because if I would put him to sleep, so then that would be like Zman Shena, and now there would be potential for Yichud for me. On the other hand, if he stayed up, then by the time my wife came home, that would have been Pikuach Nefesh for me, if he still would have been So the Tosfos of Machlokes, whether Yichud is Yehar Vayav. It was a tough call. So what I did was, I put him to sleep, and I put him into bed. I knew it takes him, I know kid falls asleep in a minute. I said, I can read for a few minutes. And then when it got a little bit quiet, like he was almost going to sleep, so then I zoomed, then the mice, I left the house. So by the time he really went to sleep, and then I came home, the mice was wide awake anyway. But in theory, that was the plan, that we shouldn't be stuck together in a part of Shena. So that idea that it's important to point out that Zman Shena is really the Kaveh, it's not so much the Kaveh in terms of Laila versus Yom, that's what the Baal Shulchan writes, it points out Chuppas Nida, that we have a practice when you have a Chuppas Nida, so you have a whole complicated discussion in the post-game, how do you run the Yichud room for a Chuppas Nida? So you want to stick, you have to stick somebody into the Yichud room, on the other hand, you want to stick as few people as possible, you don't want 20 people to know what's going on. So the minhag is very often they'll take a child. So let's say you stick, for argument's sake, a little boy into the Yichud room, together with the chassid and kala, so l'chari, that's okay. So that's, let's say even a little bit of an older boy, whatever it is, so you have two men and one woman, so l'chari, that's okay. The problem is, very often the chassid is a night, the chassid is a chup, is it's 8:30 at night, so balayla, two men and one woman is offer. So the Baal Shulchan writes, no, it's balayla, it's not Zman Shein, it's at a wedding, who's going to fall asleep in the middle of the yichud room? So the kid's really tired, the chassid's very tired. So that's not called a Zman Shena, that's called a Laila, which is not a Zman Shena. So then we revert back to the regular halacha that two men and one woman would be okay.
It depends on this night situation, it doesn't depend in general?
Yeah, I think it depends whether there's a real fear. Lamais, is there really a fear that they're going to fall asleep? So that's the bottom line. Not halacha moshem zina, just if Lamais, are you afraid they're going to fall asleep? What's the problem? Okay.
These situations here. Where you're traveling, or
you're
afraid they're going to go to sleep. Is that
also? Yeah, it's also. Yeah. The halacha says that's also. You're not allowed to do that because it's going to become yichud in a minute.
A man and a boy and the non-Jewish lady. So then, when at night, isn't it usher at that point just for them to all three to be together? Even before one of them was asleep?
No, if it's a Zman Shena.
Right.
No, it would be 2 o'clock in the morning. It would be a problem. Here, it's 8 o'clock at night. The question is it Zman Shena for a kid yet? How can you say it's Zman Shena? The kid's bouncing off the ceiling. He's running around. It's not Zman Shena yet. But once he's in bed, he's reading. So that's already Zman Shena. I think that was probably that was the machlokes. That was my kavanah last night.
Did the rabbi have to leave the house? Was there any call that he could stay home?
I don't know. If he's mamish falling asleep, I don't know what the heter is exactly.
He left the door unlocked.
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about all those heterim. That's something we're going to talk about.
If somebody has babies that live with them, then would there always be a problem because everyone would go to sleep except for one of the guys in the
wife's around.
Right, but
it's Ishtalimo. Oh, no, Ishtalimo. Okay, as long as she's mamish in the same house, even if she's sleeping, that's okay.
But it's only one's wife, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
If somebody's sister, like,
oh, we'll talk about that. We got an hour and so to talk about all these things. That was a hot topic for Yichud, and there was another Yichud Shalat somebody called with last night, so I figured it's good Chazara for today's Shia. Good. So we know the numbers, so the baseline numbers are, so one and one is a big problem, one man and two women is also a pretty big problem, two men and one woman is not as bad a problem, depending on some of the details. Are there any other numbers that are important? So Rashi has a big Kiddush in the Sefer Kiddushin. Rashi writes that the Mishnah only talks about one man and two women being also, but one man and three women, that's Heter Gomorrah, that's not a problem. One man and three women is okay. So other Rishonim never heard of this. L'hoyed Vram Yod, the Gemara never says one way or the other about this. So that's what Machlekes of Rishonim. So Rambam quotes Rashi the Yeshayim. Sometimes B'shas Hachak you have to rely on this. Sometimes you have such a situation. One man, three women. So it's hard to come down too hard. Those who want to rely on Rashi, but folks can point out L'chor that's only Bayom because if it's Balayla, it's Manshena. So then the same way we're afraid by the two men and one woman, one's going to fall asleep. So if one's going to fall asleep, you're going to bite to be left with one man and two women. You're going to be up the creek again. So what do you have to one man and four women? I don't know where the cutoff point is, Balayla. So those who want to rely on Rashi, B'shas Hachak for the daytime, so it's hard to be Meicha. But L'chila, one should try to avoid the kind of sound.
If someone has sleep a problem because they're not going to be in the room, or like let's say you're in a car at night.
And we can talk about cars. It's a very unique. We'll talk about cars. We'll talk about cars. Maybe a whole different. Good. So again, so we have the basic shaila in terms of eating. You know, let's try to as best as we can try to keep the format of the shiur going. Then we'll take questions. I think that's usually the best way of doing it. So again, so we have the basic issue of yichud, their ice, their abundance. Some of their ice, some of their abundance. The basic numbers: 1 and 1, 1 and 2, 2 and 1, 1 and 3. Sounds like a shiur in the calculus today. And this is really in the sense of background to when yichud applies. So now we have to really go through some of the heterim of yichud, some of the kulus of yichud, some of the ways, in a sense, to circumvent yichud. So the Gemara gives us a whole series of different potential kulus in yichud. We have to really try to analyze each one and see how it really plays out in the ma'isa. So the first heter that the Gemara gives us, a very important heter, is the heter of baila ba'ir. The Gemara says that if you have a married woman, even though that's usually the worst case of yichud, a man with someone else's wife, but a baila ba'ir, if the husband is in town, so then that's not considered to be a problem. Now the truth is that there is a machlekes of Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos as to how much not of a problem is it. Rashi seems to learn that it doesn't mean that it's mutter, it just means we're not going to beat the living daylights out if you do it, we're not going to give you malchus for it, but it's basically aser. And we assume not like that Rashi. Generally assume like Tosfos that's mamash mutter lechatchila, that if it's baila ba'ir, so then it's totally mutter. The question is, why should that be so? What's the lumdus, what's the svar behind the idea of baila ba'ir? So if you look in the Rishonim, you seem to get two different pictures as to why Chazal sized up that baila ba'ir is a matir, and the two different approaches really will explain away a lot of the issues that the later poskim have in terms of the parameters of this heter. So Rashi takes the approach of baila ba'ir, a very metzias-oriented approach, that we're afraid the husband's going to come. It means the wife is tittering, she's not going to be mazal with this guy, because she's nervous. The husband's going to walk into the house in 5 minutes from now. He's going to catch her. So that's the shema yom baila. That's the heter of baila ba'ir. And the Rambam doesn't describe it that way. The Rambam puts more of a psychological aura to it. The Rambam says that emas baila aleha. That means that she can't bring herself to be mazal when she knows the husband's around. Not that she's mamish afraid the husband's going to barge in b'shas ma'isa, but just the fact that she knows that the husband is not far, so the most you know is nirlo for now, so somehow she can't bring herself to be mazal. The husband's he's away in a business trip somewhere, he's nowhere around, so she loses a little bit of that pachet, a little bit of emas baila. So that's a totally different approach that Rashi's giving and the Rambam's giving. My nafkamina between the approaches, so the nafkamina, very, very real nafkamina. Let's say I have a situation where she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt he's not coming home. How does she know he's not coming home? Because he just called her from the office and he said that, listen, I know I work 10 minutes from here, but I just started a major meeting. So he's a brain surgeon. So he says, I just started a brain surgery, so I'm not going to be home for another 8 hours. So she knows he's not going to have a change in the middle and come home. So would that be the heter of baila ba'ir or not? So according to Rashi, the pashtus is not. According to Rashi, if she doesn't have any realistic fear that he's going to come, so then there's nothing that's preventing her from being mezana. According to Rashi, he's emphasizing the metzias, so then the whole heter of baila ba'ir is going to fall by the wayside. Whereas according to the Rambam, that the heter of baila ba'ir is not so much the physical prevention, his mom's going to walk in, but just that she can't bring herself to be mezana, knowing that he's across the street doing a brain surgery, even though she knows he's not coming home till tomorrow morning. So that's still called baila ba'ir because aim is baila aleha. That seems to be the first nafkamina. There is a big chiddush that the Chayyadim has in this heter of baila ba'ir. The Chayyadim claims that the heter of baila ba'ir only applies in a situation where the husband doesn't know that the wife is in the state of yichud. What does that mean? Because let's say the husband, before he goes off to work in the morning, he's going to be working in that city, before he goes off to work, so the wife says, oh, by the way, guess what, you know, the electrician is coming today, he's going to be here for a couple of hours. So the husband says, great, Baruch Hashem, find the electrician showing up, great, wonderful. and then he goes off to work. Now the electrician comes and they're together. The electrician and the married woman are in the house together for 5 hours. So is that called Baila Bi'ira? And the guy's working mamish, the guy's working down the block, whatever. The guy's working 5 minutes away. Is that called Baila Bi'ira or not? So the Chayyadin is a Chiddush, that's not called Baila Bi'ira. Because whenever the husband knows Mitzchila, the husband's not surprised that he'll walk into the house and he'll see the electrician there, so he won't be surprised. He'll be very happy. He'll be, thank you so much for coming to do the inspection. The only reason I'm saying that because the electrician just came yesterday, finally, after 6 months. It was on my mind. So the Chayyadin said, he doesn't think that's called the Heter of Baila Bi'ira. Why? Because what did Rashi mean when he said that we're afraid she's not going to be Mizana because she's afraid the husband's going to come in? What? She's afraid the husband's going to come in. Shas Maiseh. Shas Maiseh is not that long. She's not much afraid he's going to come in. So it says the Chayyadin, the stomach, what Rashi meant is that the whole preparation, the whole Hachah, she's afraid that how could she even have this guy in the house? You know, she's going to be so careful. She's going to be so careful what she does. Because Shema Yavo Baal at any point along the way. So if the man, the Rama Murim, when the husband's going to come, he's going to be surprised. He walks in, there's a strange man in the house. So he's going to startle him. So she's going to be afraid. She's going to be very careful. She's going to tread lightly. But she'll have a chisron peh. The husband will come in, he'll knock on the door, and she'll say, wait a second. And then everyone will finish whatever they were doing. And then they'll say, oh, so the electrician's here. So he won't be surprised. The husband will say, wonderful, the electrician's here. So that whole pasha, that whole Shema Yavo, it's been removed. So the Chayyadin is learning a very unique pshat in Rashi. Shema Yavo doesn't mean he's going to catch a mamish b'shas ma'isa. Shema Yavo means he'll come before, come after. That means he'll be suspicious. So she's going to be very careful in what she's doing. So the Chayyadin says, therefore, if the husband knows that he gave permission, he's the one who told the electrician to come, so the whole heter falls by the wayside. So that whole chiddush gadol of the Chayyadin. So according to the Rambam, it doesn't get off the ground. According to the Rambam, it's Shemas Baila Lecha. According to the Rambam, it's the pachad, whether the husband knows, the husband doesn't know, it's Lamaisa, she won't be Mizana, knowing that her husband's face is in front of her, that he's the Otsa Iya. So according to the Rambam, it's hard to believe that there should be any distinction, this Chiddush Gadol of the Chayyadin. Then you have another Chiddush of the Chayyadin says, also because he goes B'ikvas Rashi, the Chayyadin writes that let's say it's Baila Bi'ir, but she's been miyachin in a place with this guy where the husband will never in a million years know where to find him. So let's say, for example, her husband works in town. She's going to go to a hotel room. She's going to go to an office. She's going to go somewhere else where the husband, it's not her work, it's not her home. The husband never in a million years would think that she would be there. So the Chayyadin says that's a problem. He says, what do you mean Shema Yavo Baila? How's he going to ever know that she's there? So according to Rashi, he says Shema Yavo Baila, that's literally physically going to come and catch them even in the act itself, or in the preparation, or in the post-act. He says, Lamaisa, that fear doesn't exist unless it's in the woman's home, or it's in a place where the woman usually frequents it, the husband will know where to catch her. So again, that Chiddush of the Chayyadin also only makes sense if you go B'ikvas Rashi. Behold, if there's some real fear, Shema, that he's going to be catching them, so then it has to be a realistic fear. But if you go with the Rambam, that it's Amos Baila Leha, so Mecher, all these cases are going to be mutter. So of course, all the famous battle, so then it's mutter. So we have a whole series of these two different possible chumras. If you go with Ikvas Rashi and you hold that the heter is only based on Sheva Yavo, the husband's mamish going to come, so then that only applies if there's a realistic fear the husband's really going to come, and that may only apply if the husband will be surprised when he comes, and that only applies if the husband knows where to come. It means you chisel away at the kula. By the time you finish with all these chayyadim and chumras, you end up mamish, there's nothing left of the kula. The whole heter by the beer is one in 100 times. It's never going to accomplish anything. So those who follow the Shittas Rambam, who say that no, that the whole thing, all of the chumras of the chayyadim is predicated on that reading of Rashi. And the whole Rashi, maybe we don't pass like, but we pass in the luck like the Rambam. So there are definitely mekilim. So there are definitely grounds for those who have to follow the Shittas Rambam, who have an all-encompassing heter of Baila Be'ir, as long as it really is Baila Be'ir. Now again, even according to the Rambam, Yesh Bubadav, what's called the ear? How do you draw a line? What's called the ear for this thing? So it gets a little bit tricky. Well, it's within Tchum, but it's, that's called the, well, what if it's across the street? Well, Tinek and Bergenfeld, those are two different cities for this. If you're on one side of the street, so that's mutter. It's also, I know, it's hard to know. It's very hard to know. L'chora, let's say a person lives in Tinek and their husband works in Manhattan, so it's hard to call that Baila Be'ir. It's not really whether it's with the Tchum or not with the Tchum, it's hard to say that's the same city. So it's very hard to be magic precisely. The stumble, according to the Rambam, that it's totally Mora B'nei Adam, the stomach's totally a shtickel B'das B'nei Adam. That means what do people perceive to be? That my husband's in town, my husband's around. So what the lush of the what school? That my husband's around. So if a person husband works 5 minutes away, so even if it's not technically legally according to the zip code, maybe it's the next town over. I don't know. Maybe that's still called the year. Okay, if it works in I don't know. Let's say a guy lives in Riverdale and his wife's in Yacht in Riverdale. He works in Brooklyn. Is that called Bile of the Year? Because it's all New York City. I don't know. It's a hard call. I'll give you an honest truth. I'm not sure where to draw the line. What exactly constitutes Bile of the Year? But again, we're taking the more Kaldic version of the Rambam's understanding of Bile of the Year. But at least it has to meet those criteria. At least it has to meet to some degree. But Lashem and Yosef in the summer, the idea of Bile of the Year. There is another heter that appears in the end of Maseches Kiddushin, which seems to mirror the heter of Bile of the Year, but if you look at it a little bit closer, you'll see that it's very different. That's the heter of Ishto Imo. So the heter of Ishto Imo, the Mishnah, the Gemara discusses a little bit, that if the wife is together with him, so then there's nothing to be concerned with. So we would think, okay, the same way that Amos Bailala, so Amos Ishtarla, that's what we would think. So the truth is that most of the posts can point out it's not really true, because Chazal were very medayik in the Lashon. They use the phrase Baila Be'ir, and they use the phrase Ishto Imo. The Gemara never says Ishto Be'ir. The Gemara says Ishto Imo. Imo has the connotation that she's mamish there. So yeah, if your wife's in the same house, and you're being miyachid with another woman, that's not yichud, that's Ishto Imro. But if your wife's 20 minutes away, she just happens to be in the same city, so the Pasha says that's not called Ishto Imro. Some posts even want to, you know, blur the lines of distinction and say that, well, Baal Abir, Ishto Imro, it's all the same heifer, so as long as it's in the same city, that's okay. But the Pasha, the Dvarim, is that that's not true. Most of the poskim assume that the Lashon Chazal was meduyah, that's to be mamish Imro. So what kind of Imro? So mamish in the same house, what if it's across the street? So the stomach has to be close enough that the person can mamish jump in at the mamishes and run to a neighbor across the street. Stomach that's also still considered to be, the post can talk about osa chotzer, stomach that's also considered to be ishto imo. But more than that, not. The wife is at work and she's 20 minutes away. So although that may be bile of year, but it's not going to be ishto imo, so that's going to be potentially a problem. The next major heter that I'll speak about is Pesach Pesuch Rosh Hashanah. That if you have an area that's open to the street, so that's not subject to the issue of Yichud. So here there was a major machlokes haposkim. What exactly is the case? What do the words mean when we say that Pesach Pesuch Rosh Hashanah? So there's no problem with Yichud. So some of the poskim say, what that means is that mamash, the door is literally wide open. I mean, people can see in. I mean, how are you going to be mezana? People are looking in from the street. They see what's going on. So clearly that's going to prevent the couple from being mezana. And other folks can say, no, you don't have to have the mamash looking in. As long as the door is able to be walked into, so even though the door is technically closed, but it's unlocked, so anyone from the outside could walk in, that's also called Pesach Pesuch Rosh Hashanah, because again, the people are, even though no one's actually looking at them, but they're afraid somebody may come in at moment's notice. So how do we paskin in this machlekes, a major machlekes, it's the chuva across the whole machlekes of poskim. So how do we paskin in this? So we probably paskin like in a sense somewhere in the middle. It means both statements are true, that if the door is mamish wide open, so that's a good heter. And even if the door is not wide open, but it's accessible for people to come in, that's also a good heter. What do I mean by that? I mean, sometimes you have a situation where the door is wide open, but nobody would come in. I mean, normal people don't barge into other people's houses, even if the door is open. So that's called Pesach Pesuch Rosh Hashanah if you're positioned in the house where they can see you. And if there's a Pesach Pesuch Rosh Hashanah, the door's wide open. No one would ever come in a million years, and you're upstairs in a locked bedroom. That's not called Pesach Pesuch Rosh Hashanah. So if you're in that part of the house which is visible from the outside, so yeah, so that's called the Pesach Pesuch Rosh Hashanah. And there's nothing to worry about, even though no one's really going to come in because somebody may see. And the Itz piece, if you have a situation where the door is unlocked, but no one can really see, but it's a type of a setup where people would walk in. Again, this is a very, very fine line to be drawn. This is an area a lot of people like to make, or sometimes Shalik did in this area. They say, yeah, someone's going to walk in. The door's wide open. The door's not literally wide open. The door's closed, but somebody will walk in. What do you mean someone's going to walk in? Give me a break. When was the last time somebody barged into your apartment? It depends. So if you leave the door mamish closed, it's just unlocked, nobody even knows that it's unlocked. So who's going to walk in? If you leave it open a little bit, so then it depends. So if you have nosy neighbors who they see your door open, they walk in, okay, matzah. But or if you have, let's say, a super in the building who does the rounds, you have a wire security guard who walks up and down the hallway, And he sees a door, you know, it's 12 o'clock at night, he sees a door open, no one's walking in and out, so he gets nervous, so he knocks on the door, he comes in, he walks in, snoops in, see what's going on. Okay, so maybe you can argue that's called like a Pesach Peshus HaShirab a little bit. But if you have a door that even though it's a little bit open, but nobody, it's Derech Eretz, no one's gonna walk into the house, so what kind of Pesach Peshus HaShirab is that? So, true, in theory, a closed door is okay. It doesn't have to be mamish wide open in order to count to Pesach Peshus. It could be that we do pass like the Mekilim, that even if the nobody can actually see you, that's good enough. But it has to be realistic. It has to be honest that somebody really could walk in. So Lamaisa, when all the dust settles, so what does Pesach Lishis Rav mean for us? So basically what it means is that there has to be a realistic fear that someone can either see you or someone can actually walk in. Now that's going to change, of course, the time and place, depending on your... You know, different societies. Some people, if they, I don't know, Eretz Yisrael, maybe people just barge into other people's houses. No, maybe a little bit more. In America, someone could bother and just barge into somebody's house because the door is open. So it's going to change. It's going to change going at the time as well. Let's say Pesach Lishis Harav. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's fast asleep already. You're living in a normal place. Not the Wayu dorm. Yeah, everyone's fast asleep. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, let's say the Wayu dorm is 9 o'clock in the morning. So everybody's fast asleep. And the door is wide open. But nobody's there. In place of Ben Mitzavtei, like the Baal, they're waiting for him to get up. So everyone's fast asleep, so no one's going to come in. No one's going to knock, no one's going to come. So what kind of Pesach Lishis Harav is that? So Pesach Lishis Harav has to be realistic. It has to be a real, honest, to goodness hashara that somebody may either mamash see, or someone may actually, or people may actually come in. Not just one person, people. It doesn't have to be 600,000 people. It's not Erevin, but it has to be a few people, at least 3 people. So it has to be a common area where people are walking around in order to be Pesach Lishis Harav. Is there a soda machine out there in the region? By the, does it work actually? Send me a favor. What do we have? Can I go play this real quick?
Pepsi,
yeah. Can you get me a cherry Pepsi? Thanks. I thought this bottle of water was going to go a long way, but I realized I drank half it for lunch, so there's only a half a bottle left. As we pause the new contemporary halacha program, we have to provide drinks for the Adidas Shia. Anyway, so getting back to this story. So there is a heter pesach for Pesach Lishis Harav, but you have to be careful from the Messias before you invoke it. Yes.
Practical case for rabbis who are involved in counseling.
Yeah.
Very often you may be in a situation where you're discussing sensitive matters with a congregant.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I tell you that not only in terms of halacha, just in terms of practically, you shouldn't do anything that kihu zeh resembles a problem of yichud. Just for Eitz HaTayva.
So how do you practically do that? And you have a secretary?
Wherever you are, keep whatever you have open and open in some way. You have to. You have to protect yourself. Forget about the Hilchos Yichud. So you have to. Raise bread. That's the way the world runs today.
As of Shai Rashi, I mean, if they're going into another place that's not her house, isn't there a chashash of anyone in the community seeing them? Or anything like that?
Well, I mean, on the way, that's not going to prevent you, but...
Yeah, but it's all about his surprise, initial surprise that she's in the house of the man. What's the difference?
I mean, someone will see them and then they'll tell the husband.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's like a spy movie. There's already so many people involved. But the heck is that the husband's going to walk in, you know, it's not that the husband's going to find out. They have to be pretty direct.
It's
still be pretty direct. Pretty direct. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to make fun of
you. Yeah.
Yeah, that won't help the problem. So if I said the woman will come in, no, if I can get into Yichud with the woman. Right.
She's coming in the middle.
Yeah, that's a shiloh. That's a shiloh. That's a question about this. Some maybe grounds will help on that also. You mean the Shaila Baal of Iyah for a non-Jewish woman? Is there a Heta Baal of Iyah? So according to the Rambam, maybe you don't have that aim is Baal Allah by non-Jews. The same way the Gemara says Ishtahimo doesn't apply by Moshe Enkein Rashi, the Maisa, she's afraid the husband coming and kill her, so that fear may exist also. So I didn't see the Farish. I don't see the Farish that there is Baal of Iyah by Goyim. Ishta ima begoyim, the Gemara says the Farish doesn't apply. Baal of Iyah was searching, looking around. The only reason, look, somebody has new Shaila last week. Somebody has a Maisa Shaila Kachvaya that he had to do, he had some business client or something, And he had to go to her house, and her husband works at a bank 10 blocks away or something. So it's Mamish Ba'ir, then he had to go in. So is there a heter of Baila Ba'ir? Since I was fiddling around, okay, so somebody says that it's Mutter, so I couldn't figure out if it's so Pasha. So who says the Pharisee? Rabbi Lulu said, oh, Pasha Kimanti, okay. He says it depends. Because he holds like the Rambam, because the Nikah is in the Rambam, right? So he holds his mom's shot. Oh, so I didn't know. I told him I wasn't sure. I told the guy, Taka wasn't sure. I didn't see in the Yichud Svar, the Fairish. Oh, very good. Very good. Okay.
How does a window play in where if you're in a neighborhood where you don't feel safe, leave the door unlocked, but you have the
windows
wide open?
Windows. We can get through windows. Yeah, we can get through windows in a second. So, yeah. So Rav Moshe has a very, very interesting kula by knocking on doors. A tremendous kula Rav Moshe has, which was not makubal. We don't really follow this kula. Rav Moshe, so he says, he writes this in English. Rav Moshe says, if you live in a place where people knock on the door, people ring the bell, and if you are home, it's not the proper etiquette not to respond. So Rav Moshe says, so even if the door is mamash locked. So what's going to happen? They're going to be in the middle of being mezana. How could they think of being mezana? Someone's going to ring the bell, and they're going to have to answer. And now they're going to have to stop, and they're going to be caught, and who knows what's going to happen. So therefore, the heter of Pesach Pasuk, which is Rama, applies even if the door is locked, if you live in a place where everybody answers the bell. I don't know, it would be far be it for me to disagree with Rav Moshe, but I think the reason why nobody accepted Rav Moshe is, so they won't answer the bell. It's the first time. The phone in your house never rang, and you didn't pick it up. So the bell never rang. I'm not interested. I'm in the shower. I don't answer. I don't run out. So the person can be the mezana. They won't stop in the middle. I don't know.
Let's say somebody knows that they're home. Like a cousin is coming. A cousin knows that they're home. So they don't open the
door. But Ramesh was not even. Ramesh was talking about. But Mishul's going to come. I don't know. Ramesh
is
not.
But people know you're home.
People know you're home. Could you accept Ramesh Svara in a very limited circumstance? I don't know. I don't know. I think that the Minigra Elam is not to follow this this Kula Rav Moshe. It's an interesting Kula. The Pesach Tshuva quotes from the Ezev Kodesh, and the Rebbe Yehuda also Acharonim have this idea that you can have Pesach Pesuch Lishus Ram, but it's not a door; it could be a window also. Because remember, we said there were two different ideas of Pesach Pesuch Lishus Ram. There's Pesach Pesuch Lishus Ravim that people are going to see, and there's Pesach Pesuch Lishus Ram that people are going to mamash walk in. So if you have a window, so then probably no one's going to jump to the window, and the other end people could see. So if the window's mamash wide open to where you are in the house, so lechera that's going to be okay. We have to also be honest about that also. So if you're sitting in a place where it's visible from the window, so then it's mutter. If you're upstairs in a locked bedroom and there's a window to the living room, so that's not going to help. And the school of the windows is not going to be too helpful in apartment buildings. It'll be good in private houses, provided that the window is really visible. So again, each case will be different. If there are big bushes that are blocking your window, so no one can see. If your house is receded 300 feet back, so no one can see, that's going to be a problem. So again, Imtum dilemma, someone can really honestly see in. And it's at a time when there are people there. Let's say you live on Amsterdam Avenue, people are walking around all hours day and night. If you live on Rexa Court, so the three, that's where I live, so there's three cars that come by. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, nobody comes by. So that's not called Pesach Pesuch Shitzram. So again, Pesach Pesuch Shitzram is a great hat there, but you have to make sure that it really meets whatever criteria that they are.
Are you saying when people are going to come in, does it also pertain to family members that are going to come in?
Yeah, family members could also be Pesach Pesuch Shitzram. I mean, this particular shot that I had last night, so usually I don't have that much of a problem with Pesach Pesuch Shitzram because my in-laws actually live across the street. So they're constantly walking in. They have keys to the house, they come in, the house never locked anyway, they come in, they walk in. So it's always Pesach Pesuch Shitzram. But it happened to be in the time my in-laws, I knew we were in Brooklyn last night. So I didn't have that happen. So, no. Yeah, so let's just again, let's try to get a little bit more straight shear, and then we'll try to take some of the questions. So it's in light of this discussion of Pesach Pesuch Shitzram that the modern day Shabbos cars comes into being. What exactly is the status of cars vis-a-vis Yichud? Is there any problem with Yichud in a car? So Lechora, cars are a great thing. The tinted windows, but so Pashtus is that Pesach Pesuch Shitzram, so everyone can see them, so it's not a problem. So the question is, wait a second, but maybe it has to be the same way Pesach Pesuch Shitzram has to be in a place and at a time when there are people around. But just because you have a window wide open, so that's still not going to solve the problem if you're in a time and a place where there's nobody around. So this led some poskim to say that, yeah, that if you're in a deserted area or if you're in a deserted time and other areas, So that may be a problem of yichud in a car. So Rabbi Yashiv held this way. Held that he gave a shiur of 10 minutes. He said, if you're driving on a country road and you don't see cars for 10 minutes, then someone's got to jump out of the car. He said it shows that there's a problem of yichud because there's nobody around. So, and others didn't give that shiur. Look, Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't really work with that mahalach. Rav Shlomo Zalman. What's the thing? Anyone know what the context of that tshuva Rav Shlomo Zalman was? about yichud in cars? It was a funny context. It was a woman who was pregnant, was being taken by an ambulance driver. So I don't know where the husband was. So he was, whatever, he was busy. He was staying till somewhere. So the Jewish ambulance driver and the pregnant woman, so the shadow was whether there's a problem of yichud. So they asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, is there a problem of yichud? Forget about the Pekuch Nefesh. That was less than that. That was our chayim. We're never there now. So forget about that. So they asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, is there a heter of yichud with a woman who's in labor? He said, "Chashash, you're going to be mitana with us." She said, "Kavir chazrachim." So Shlomo Zalman says, "Look, we don't find Chazal said that once you reach 5 minutes of five contractions, there's a heter of yichud." He says, "Lo shemana dozer me'elam," but he says he thinks maybe there's another heter. Maybe car is a yichud. So it's in that context, a humorous shuva where he talks about the issue of yichud and car. So he seems to be noita that me'ikar adin, it's really not a problem. He doesn't draw distinctions between the 10-minute rules of cars and how lonely that. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman was assuming that ain't ma'om ba'aretz, that there are mamshna, unless you're driving in Antarctica. If you're driving, even if you're driving in Lake Como, even if you're driving in the mountains, it's 11 o'clock at night, there's still, every once in a while, there's a car, there's a deer, there's a bear, there's something. For someone it's good enough, there's a pachet, there's going to be somebody on the way. So the stuff of that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to say. He doesn't seem to draw any of these arbitrary chalukim. The Moshe is an unbelievable chumra. The Moshe has some interesting chumras in Uchaziri. He has a couple of really interesting chumras also. The Moshe had a tremendous chumra in the realm of cars. The Moshe writes that not only is there yichud problem in cars in a deserted area, but he says he thinks even in a non-deserted area could be a problem of yichud. Why? He says because even if you're driving on a regular highway, you can pull off onto the grass. You can, so you're driving in a chmeis, you're driving up to the mountain, Route 17. So I'm not talking about when you're up to exit 94 in Roscoe and those places. Anyone knows the mountains? I'm talking about you're driving at the through Monticello, so it's Mamish, Pasuch, Lishas Rabin, everyone's standing in the tramps the whole way. So many people walking around. The Moshe says, yeah, what's going to happen? You just veer off the road for 1 second, you go hide behind some of the grass or something, and sure, you have a problem of yichud. But I'm not doing that. I'm on the highway. I'm not getting off the grass. The Moshe says, no. When you have a situation that could so easily turn into yichud, so it's also even the way it is. It's like a little bit like the Shema Yishon, like we're afraid someone's going to fall asleep. So they asked the Rav Moshe, so then in Cain, Pesach Pesach Shizrap, the Nuffel Pita Bavir, the whole heter falls by the wayside. So Gezeri, you may lock the door. I mean, the whole heter is someone's going to come in. There's Rav Moshe Lishitosu, who holds that even if you lock the door, it's Mutter. So it's very hard to understand. So what's the heter of Pesach Pesach Lishitosu? If you're afraid, how can there be Mutter when the windows are? Gezeri, you're going to put down the shades? So it's hard to understand Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe, it says, of course, Rav Moshe ain't lived over self. So how can one man and one woman ever drive in the FDR together? He said, you know, you'll pull over to the side somewhere behind, the side of somewhere. I don't know where to draw the line across Rav Moshe. So he writes, that's just Svara. So the context of that tshuva was also an interesting tshuva. The shaila was, are you allowed to give a woman a ride back from the Catskills? That was the shaila. So he starts talking about the mountains, and he says, the mountains are very desolate, no one's there. And he says, and even the cities, even if they're not desolate, there's still a problem. I think that the island is not so, sometimes there are men and women together in cars. Sometimes people do go on dates once in a while. They don't bring two men and one woman together. A new chumrah. You have to double date. Two men and one woman together on every date. And it has to be not as manshena. Everyone has to be kosher. So I think that the olam is not noyeg that way. I think the olam is noyeg either like Rabbi Yoshev, that if it's mamish deserted, so then there's a problem. Or even not even like Rabbi Yoshev, even like Rosh Hashanah, it sounds like. But even if it's legamri deserted, that there's no such thing. Says Mamazer, there's no such thing as legamri deserted. So I don't know, it's hard to draw a line. I remember one time I was trying to chesh bring this out and trying to think, you know, okay, I'm driving a deserted road, let's see. I don't know, 10-minute rule, let's try to see. So it was at 2 o'clock in the morning, the clock came by. Okay, fine, no, that was just the 10-minute clock. Then 2 minutes, another clock came by. Then you can go for an hour, no car comes by. But still, it's so, by definition, it could be any moment So I don't know, it could be that the mere fact that it could be any moment, that's also called Pesach Tosfos Ramchal. It's hard to be machmir on this. It's hard to draw a line in the sand as to what's the, if you start to use Rabbi Yosher's guidelines, I don't know, 10-minute rule, it's hard to know. I think the pashas is like, the pashas of Shlomo Zalman is that the whole thing is mutter.
What's the idea that someone's in the back? I mean, the woman sitting in the back will
grow
dry.
It has nothing to do with yichud. It has to do with just nias. You know, but it should be or shouldn't be. If it's on a date, I don't want to suggest it. But you want to be the last one. Yeah, but in terms of yichud, it doesn't really matter.
If you have a woman driver, on this question, if you have a man and woman in the back seat, you're driving by 50 miles per hour, no one is looking in the back seat. And you have a death of that.
I don't know. But it's also called Pesach Pasuach. I mean, you stop for traffic. I don't know. You stop for a stop sign. Whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
So Ramosha chooses that at night or in the day? Or
I remember Ramosha doesn't make any distinctions. Ramosha says that anytime you have a situation where it can a second turn into Yichud, so then the whole Hetzer Pesach Pasuach Ram falls by the wayside. So in Cain, I don't understand. So when was there ever Hetzer Pesach Pasuach? I don't understand. You still in the Shuvah? You still there?
Yeah.
Do you understand it? So I don't understand now. You saw Shlomo Zalman
said that Pesach Ramosha says he's worried about Chashash of Chibuk for Nishuk also, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know if it's there. We don't find it. They asked the Yichud out there. What about Shlomo Zalman? I think sounds like it's Mutul Gam, you know? Does he give any numbers? From what I understand, the only source of where Yashiv is quoted is saying 10 minutes.
Different versions of where Yashiv's number is also something called 15 minutes.
15 minutes, oh! Sure, okay. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, okay. Sure. I don't think you can go 15 minutes to make sure I'm not seeing a car. One of those big buses coming by. There is a possible monkey wrench into these two coolers, the cooler of Baila Ba'ir and the cooler of Pesach Tosfos Ramchal. Even though we've whittled away at these coolers for a lot, there's not that much left of them, but there's something that may totally destroy them, and that's the issue of Libo Gaspa. The Gemara throws in a monkey wrench, and the end of the solution says that at least the Gabi Heter of Baila Ba'ir, the Gemara has this chilek of Libo Gaspa, and the guy Pesach Tosfos has a shiloh in the way of him. But at least the Gabi Baila Ba'ir, the Gemara says, what if you have a situation where the person that you're being miyachin with, you're very friendly with. Because you grew up with this girl, you were in kindergarten with her, you know each other for the last 20 years, you did all of it. So, Gemara says, Libo Gaspa, so you have to be a little bit more machmir. So the pashtus and the halach is that at least the Hetzer Baal of the ear falls by the wayside. I mean, you're not going to be that careful. Maybe even Pesach Pesach Ramah, but maybe even falls away according to some poskim. The question is, when you use the line, it's a very vague phrase, Libo Gaspa. What constitutes Libo Gaspa? So the folks can say, well, what if it's somebody who's like, related to you, some cousin, that's sometimes Libo Gaspa. And so somebody asked me a shayla yesterday. I asked me a shayla about, can they have yichud together with their mother-in-law? It's just them and their mother-in-law, but their wife is away somewhere. And the husband, the father-in-law, is in town, so he went to go to a shiur or something. So it's him and his mother-in-law together. So Pasha did this by love. But yeah, unless according to Rashi, maybe it's not called by love here because he knows that you're here, he's not with the Choshed. But let's say you go with the Rambam, the aim is by love. The question is that Libo Gaspa? I asked him a very sensitive question. How close are you with your mother? Are you really friendly with her or not? He's not married that long. I said, oh, you're not married that long, you're still scared of her a little bit. So that's after 3 years, you realize. So I don't know, it's hard to draw a line. It's hard to draw a line what's called Libo Gaspa. But in theory, if it's Libo Gaspa, then somebody's a pain, we're going to fall by the wayside. These ideas that Chazal tell us that when you have these kinds of deterrents, and Chazal would convey of these certain deterrents, Rabban, Ba'ir, whatever you Ishtalima, whatever they are, whatever meets the criteria of these particular deterrents, the question becomes a very global question as to but Chazal mak bedafka on these deterrents? I mean, Chazal, whatever the source for all these things are, that it has to mamish meet these halachic criteria of it's got to be either Baal of the year, it's got to be Pesach Pesach Zom, it's got to be mamish A, B, or C in order for it to be mutter. What if we have some other kind of deterrence? What if we have some other superimposed a modern day deterrent that's going to prevent somebody from being mezana? Would that also be good? Would that also be acceptable as a form of a deterrent? So one interesting shayla could be a video camera. What would the halacha be? If you have a lot of people have their nanny cameras, they have them. It'd be a good way to solve yichud problems. They put the nanny cameras. You know, we don't have nannies, don't have babysitters. Are cameras that are put in to make sure that nobody Nobody walks off with your house, and nobody does things with your children. It also is very helpful in Bishalach on the Kashrus. It could be a Kashrus camera. So maybe you can help in Yichud also. So it could be even better. It could be, can that be like a shtickle pesach pesuch the shizir abim? That means if I can mamish watch what's going on, so maybe that's assuming that the person in the house doesn't know how to turn it off. So maybe that would be also a possible way to circumvent Yichud. But that's an interesting shayla. But the shayla that I wanted to talk about is a shayla that really appears in our generation, the last generation of poskim. The following type of a shayla, a very, very common shayla, touches a little bit on what you mentioned before about the situations where you need a little bit of privacy. That's the issue of doctor's visits. Doctor's visits are a very potentially serious problem in terms of yichud. It's not going to be if some woman goes to a male doctor, and forgetting about the other issues in terms of touching and kirav bosor, whatever heterim there are in that area, whatever. We're not learning the details of that right now. Just purely from the vantage point. Of yichud. So what is the halacha? Let's assuming that let's say bala beer is not an issue at that point. The husband's not around. So is there a problem of yichud? So a group of folks can say that yes, you have to go with the regular guidelines of yichud. It means whatever the guidelines of yichud are, if you have bala beer, matzah. If you can create a situation of pesach pesuch shirab matzah. So what would that mean? Pesach pesuch shirabim. It means you'd mamish have to have a kind of a system that the doctor and the doctor knows. That the nurse could mamish walk in at any given moment. The nurse can walk in, the secretary can walk in, the other doctor can walk in. And you have a real system that just because the door is closed, so it doesn't matter, you walk in even when the door is closed. If you have a type of a system in the office in place that people really do, honest to goodness, walk in mamish in the middle of an exam, so then okay, so then that's Pesach Pesuch Shirab. Again, even though the door is not mamish wide open, but we said, according to the Mekin, we'll say that even if it's not wide open, but it's at a time and a place where it's accessible to people, and in reality people do come in, so then that would be okay. So if you meet the criteria of Pesach Pesuch Shisram, so then it's going to be Mutter. What if you don't have that kind of a setup? What if you don't want to have, you don't want the nurse up there, people don't like that the door opens up wide open in the middle of an exam? So what if you have a situation where people don't come in? Or they knock first, we get a version of that, they knock first, and the doctor says, just wait a minute, we're in the middle of an exam, which you could say, just wait a minute, we're doing something else. So is that, you don't really have Pesach Pesuch L'Shisarabim. So is there any heter whatsoever? So Ramosha is a big chiddush. Ramosha writes that if you have a setup like a doctor's office, so there's a nurse there, there's a secretary there, there are other patients around, the doctor's in with this one woman. The nurse knows the woman's coming in to get a chmei. She's coming to get a 2-minute procedure. She's coming in to get checked out for she's got a sore throat. So they expect that she should be in there for 2 seconds. The doctor's in with her for 25 minutes. So someone's going to get suspicious. So not only is someone going to get suspicious, he says, the guy's going to be the front page of the New York Times tomorrow. It means his whole practice is going to be down to. So comes with Moshe and says, Ein lecha mirsas gobel mizeh. I mean, just the setup of a doctor's office is such that even though you may not have the actual halachic safeguards of Pesach Pesuch L'Shisarabim, but if lamaisa you have other safeguards, other mirsas, other deterrents, so the setup of a normal office visit may also serve as a deterrent. Says Rav Moshe, Med Varanurim, that is during office hours. Let's say he tells this woman to come, you come, I'm closing the office at 5:30, you come at 5:45, and sends the nurse home and everybody. I'm a little obligated. You could come a problem unless you have, bottle of beer or whatever, assuming that will even be present. But in a normal context of an office visit where there are other people around, even though the other people are not really going to come in, so Rav Moshe seems to be nice that it's okay. Shlomo Zalman disagreed. Shlomo Zalman says, Ein lo chadash b'etzmeinu deterrents. I mean, if it meets the criteria of whatever the halachic deterrents of Chazal or Kaveh, good. If not, then no good. And it's going to be a problem. I think usually, from my understanding, Bizman Hazeh, I guess in a certain sense, due to the moral level that we live in, Bizman Hazeh, the doctors, the same way we say the Rabbanim want to protect themselves, the doctors want to protect themselves also. The doctors don't want to have a setup where hands off, no one's allowed to walk in at any time. So I think it is pretty common that the nurses, the other doctors, people do have access into the room. I mean, it's not out of the ordinary now. Doctor in the middle of examining a patient, and a nurse will steer right in. So it could be that you really have, I guess, nimtza chumakul, that mitoch, what does the Gemara say, that nimtzeka kolosam takanosam, because the door is so makulkul that the zachas themselves are fitting over, they don't want to be accused. Even the guy's the biggest Yirei Shemayim, he doesn't want someone to accuse him that he's doing something inappropriate, so they build their own safeguards in, so it could be those safeguards may taka meet the halachic criteria safeguards, even according to Tzom Zalman. So again, this kind of a shot is going to depend on the time and place. If you go to a Moshe, that as long as you have a normal setup of a doctor's office, then there's nothing to worry about. And even according to Tzom Zalman, it could be that the way our doctors are, there's none of that. It's quite possible that really is the Messias HaDvarim. So again, if the husband comes, and the husband comes along, and comes into the exam room, that's the best situation. If the husband sits outside, so it's also definitely Amos Baal Allah, huh? So that will help for sure according to the Rambam, but even if that's not feasible, so it may very well have grounds for Hakam as well.
Yeah.
What about psychologists or counselors classification for
independence? Yeah, so that's more of a problem, because there you probably don't have somebody spectating in, but because if you don't have Bailabir, right? If you don't have Bailabir, unless the secretary will need to give instructions to come in once in a while.
That's two women.
Yeah, if the nurses are female.
Right, if the nurses are females. Right. Unless you hold that the heter pesach pesuach could mean that even if you're going to come in, because the iser of one and two is that Shemi is going to be mefatah them together, but here you're going to be mezana with one, and then one's going to walk into the middle. So it does create a mirror. So some posting sites, I know. I think they're posting material like that. I don't know how to set it up in a better way. Call them on the phone. Because they have a camera phone, no video. So maybe, I don't know, just talk on the phone. I don't know if you know how. If you want to be talking on the phone also, so I don't know if there's any
difference. Would keeping records of when people came and when they left?
So this is like Ramosha. This is like Ramosha's type of a reason. I don't even know if you have to really take, but it was in Kodesh Ramosha that type of a setup does the trick. Kodesh Ramazami says, they love Kodesh Meretzvein of these types of news. Okay, so another possible heter, another very good heter that the Gemara speaks about in terms of Yichud, which is the Mishnah speaks about, is certain Krovim there's no Isser of Yichud with. The very Isser of Yichud is learned out from Abden Mishach and Imai, the Ein Echad Mishach and Mishah Raya Shubatera. So certain relatives are heter gomer in terms of Yichud. Who are those relatives that there's no problem with Yichud at all? So the only ones that we know with absolute certainty are father and daughter and mother and son. Those are for sure mutter. It's usually assumed that when we say father, daughter, mother, son, it means Ladeiris also. That means grandchildren. So if a grandfather is allowed to be miyachad with a granddaughter, or grandson is allowed to be miyachad with a grandmother, we assume halacha that's okay. As long as it's a direct line of transmission, so that's considered to be acceptable as well. So the Gemara doesn't spell that out exactly in the sugya. Then the Gemara raises a question about what about Yichud Machoso? What about a person to have Yichud together with his sister? That seems to be Machlokes in the Gemara. It seems to be Machlokes in the Rishon had a Paskin. And we Paskin in a sense a little bit of a split. We Paskin that Yichud with Achoso was basically Mutter, even though there are Rishon who don't quote that Heter. But we, the Dinig is to assume Mahakal that Yichud with the sister is Mutter. But Dira in Machoso is also. If you still live the Kvias with the sister, so that's considered to be inappropriate. So it's a strange split. It means Yichud with a parents, a son and a mother allowed to live together for 20 years, that's not a problem. But a brother and sister shouldn't rent an apartment together. They're not allowed to live together the kvias. So what exactly does that mean? That's what it says in the Gemara. Shulchan Aruch, that's what we assume. Lamaya said later post can have this achara. So what kind of halacha is that? Where do you draw the line? What's called yichud? What's called dira? So it's a little bit unclear. So there are some posts who say 30 days. 30 days. Quote from, I think, Rabbi Yoshe, the quote says those posts can have certain poskim where they had to put a number. 10 minutes, 30 days, you have to put a shir. So halacha b'shem says it has to be a shir, otherwise it's not the rech of a shir. So Rav Moshe doesn't go with that hagadar. Rav Moshe writes, it's not so much a shir of 30 days, that it's a kol lefi moshe b'nei yaldon. Is this called that I'm just staying with my sister? Or is this called that I'm living with my sister? So he says, let's say you can have a situation where, let's say you have a brother and sister, one's a Catholic family, and the parents go away on a trip. So the parents go away for Shabbos, and they leave the brother and sister behind for Shabbos. So you would say that's kvius. One day, one overnight, that's not kvius. On the other hand, let's say the parents go to Eretz Yisrael for a month, and a month is a bad number because that's 30 days. Let's say they go to Eretz Yisrael for 3 weeks. So Moshe says, the brother and sister are living together, haraya, they live in this house, and now they're really together for a long time, even though it's less than 30 days, he's not sure. Let's say a brother comes to visit, he has a single sister who lives in New York, and he's coming from out of town, and he comes. So does he come as a guest? Does he come to stay? Does he come and he's staying for the whole summer? But Rashi says it's hard to draw a line also. It's hard to give an exact shiur. When it reaches the point being a little bit too much bikriya, so then it becomes a problem. Then talk with the brothers and sisters should not really be staying together for long periods of time.
Has someone mentioned a sister, or if she's married?
Well, she's married. If the husband's around, then by the year, then it had to come with.
He's not there.
If he's not there, then you have the same problem. And then the only heter is achosel, so heter of achosel is only when it's baroi, not bakroi, not kriyas.
According to Elayashi, if we put the number to it, can one say, like, okay, then we'll see you every 29 days?
But it's like a zuga, go away from now to come back and start the count over again. I don't know. Start the clock again. I don't know. Yeah, let's just try to finish up, and we'll take a few minutes at the end of all the questions. What about other relatives? What about aunts and other kinds of relatives? So Rav Moshe has also a tremendous chiddush. Rav Moshe seems to be close to the Gemara, Masechet Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says that the aunts of Yetzer Gedolah, they were mevatel the Yetzer Hara of certain the arayas. So he says that maybe these manazen, maybe these other like an aunt, she's still not derech taiva, maybe it's like a sister even, maybe derech rais mutter. I know you most of the poskim assume that havdol hosif a lot. We're not even sure the heter vachosa is true. That heter vachosa, even if it's true, it's only true derech rais, not true bekviyas. And half the rishonim don't even quote that derech vachosa. So vachosa appears in the gemara. The gemara has a discussion that vachosa. It's not clear what's matkana to gemara is. Other relatives don't even make them to the Gemara Bechlal, so therefore one probably shouldn't extend it. So we usually assume that the only relatives who are mamash mutter heter gomer are father, mother, son, daughter, or grandparents up and down, and brothers and sisters are okay, but should be kept really to a minimum. It shouldn't become too much of a kvius. You have a question that the poskim discuss about people who are biologically related to each other, but they're not halachically related. Say geirim. What's the halacha? You have a whole family, a whole non-Jewish family converts. So now, technically speaking, the father and daughter are not related to each other. Yeshua's got them. She's no one's on me. They're allowed to be that term, marry each other. So they're allowed to marry each other. There's no more yichud anymore. But still, she's still a pnuya. So is there a bundle that not allowed to get married? So is there a heter of yichud? Ramesh assumes that here. Ramesh assumes that this heter, that Ben Mishyachin and Imo and Av and Bito, this is not a function of a halachic connection. This is a function of having Messias, namely that Lamaisa is not going to be any taiva. So he says, Geshes Gashim Kunsha Noah Dummy can change halacha, but it's not going to change the psychology of the person. Lamaisa, this is still his biological daughter, so he's not going to, hopefully, a normal father is not going to have a taiva for his daughter. So therefore, we can still rely on the cool of Avim in detail. There's a very, very difficult shaila to answer, both halachically and of course, sensitivity is the issue of adoption. Means when you have an adopted child, so the question is, can we really invoke this heter of Abbe Misyachet and Imo? Abbas and Misyachet is in Imavia. Lamaisa is not the father. Lamaisa, it's not genetically the father. It's not biologically the father. So, in theory, there really could be some taiva. Now, if you take the approach that, well, it's an adopted child, it's a baby, so what's the taiva? It's not going to be a taiva. You know, he raised the child, and he views the child as his daughter. So one could take such an approach. I'm not saying that would be necessarily a wrong approach, but Ramesha doesn't take that approach. Ramesha has a different twist on adoptions. She writes that he has, it's really kind of lishitas of an adopter's office. And Ramesha has this idea of deterrence. Ramesha has these, like, is like superimposed deterrents that even though they don't appear in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch to say, if Lamaisa we can honestly lefira osenad the yonim size up that there's a real deterrent over here, so that will be matir as well. So Ramesh says you adopt the child, the father now is adopted daughter, so kozman that the mother's in the house, kozman that they're functioning as a family, so it's mutter, so it's ishto imo, so it's mamish mutter. Let's say it's they adopt the son. So it's vayla b'yir, so it's mutter, it's not a problem. So let's say, says Ramesh, let's say the mother goes away on a trip to Herzl for 2 weeks. Now you have the father and his adopted daughter living together for 2 weeks. The mother is nowhere around. Ishto is not emo anymore. So what's the heter? So Ramesh thinks the heter is as follows. He says he thinks that the relationship of an adopted family is such that if the father, Chalila, start up with the daughter, who's she going to go to? She's going to go tell the mother. So Ramesh says it's like a built-in deterrent. means it's kayadua that he's sitting, he would never in a million years think of starting up the daughter because he knows the ramifications of doing such a thing. So Moshe says, that doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Gemara only has the heter of Avishto Imo Mamish. Yeah, that's because the woman you're being miyachid with doesn't know your wife. She's not your adopted daughter of your wife. She doesn't have a kesher with your wife. Loved after she's going to know snitch. Whereas over here she's going to snitch because it's her own mother. So Moshe says the fear that the man's going to have to start off with his own daughter, that goof of concern is with the Torah. So that's a Moshe's chiddush. It's a little shtickle that she tells her in the case of the doctor's visit. That's like a made up deterrent that doesn't appear in the Gemara of the Shulchan Aruch. Then Moshe says if that's true, because the Medrash by Mamurim, say everyone's alive, but say the mother's no longer alive. So now you have an adopted father, father and adopted daughter, and they're living together, the mother's no longer alive. And Moshe says that's a big problem. He says he doesn't know of any heter for that. Again, if you go to that original svar that we said, well, maybe there's no taiva, so that's it. There's no taiva, and finished. Okay, so then that would be mutter even here. But if you go to the Moshe, that we're not willing to say there's no taiva, we're just willing to say there's a built-in deterrent. So again, when the built-in deterrent is there, it's there. If it's not there, it's not there. So Moshe is willing to be makel that we don't need real baal bia, we don't need real ishtahim, but we're willing to work with these make-believe, these brand-new deterrents. That they have to be realistic, says Rav Moshe. They have to really still be present. And others didn't even go as far as Rav Moshe. Others had serious reservations of Rav Moshe. I would imagine Shlomo Zalman would probably disagree with Rav Moshe. Shlomo Zalman who said that there's I don't know if Shlomo Zalman had a piece of adoption. I don't remember. Mustami has one of the tshuvas about this. But Shlomo Zalman who writes that Eilam L'chadash Mi'at Tamein of these new deterrents, so he would probably disagree. I would guess he would disagree with Rav Moshe's cheshbon here also. He would say, unless Mamish is to Imo, Mamish Balabir, which is something that's very hard to pull off, it's going to be a problem. So I think that the Olam, obviously the Olam that adopts children, so they're either assuming that it's Mamish Heter Gomer, there's nothing to worry about, which Rav Moshe didn't go that far, and I'm not sure exactly who did go that far, but it's a Svara, makes sense. But Rav Moshe, if you go to Rav Moshe's Mahalach, so then it'll be Mutter, at least calls him on that everybody's still alive.
Can one extend Rav Moshe's? Say that, let's say, even if the mother's not alive anymore, if the girl is a minor, for example, the father's scared of the law.
Maybe they'll get into trouble. Yeah. Okay.
Then you can say extend
it. We're going
to
talk about the law in a second. We're going
to
talk about Ketanim in a second.
One.
We're going to talk about Ketanim. If that's true, then Yichud with any couple should be more than. Right. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Okay? That would be a great cooler, because the couple for this area is 18, whatever. That would be a great cooler. But the minus we don't not a single. So what taka, let's just finish up and we'll take all the questions. So what taka is the status in terms of the last category, in terms of yichud b'ketanim? At what age does yichud become mutter? Become also, I'm sorry. And at what and can ketanim help out any potential yichud problems? So the Rambam tells us that the shiur for the years of yichud is not surprising. It's the same shiur as the shiur via. In Halacha Moshe Sinai, that a girl at the age of 3 years old is already about via. A boy at the age of 9 years is already a barachik via. So that's when the Yisra of Yichud kicks in. So that means for a man to be miyachid with a girl over the age of 3 is a problem. For a woman to be miyachid with a boy over the age of 9 is going to be a problem as well. That's what the Rambam writes. That's what's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. So Moshe has another interesting cool in this. He doesn't pass this lamaise. He just throws it out as a eshaloma. But I think he himself doesn't really say it. Lamaise. Moshe says he thinks maybe it changes this man as well. Maybe that cut off to 3 years old doesn't apply to this man as well. Why? Says in the old days, so he said that once the girl was already 3 years old, she's Rivka, she got married at the age of 3. So it wasn't so uncommon. Days of Chazal, so a little girl. So learn Kedusha in the second parak. So it wasn't so uncommon for a little girl to get married. So if a man's going to start off with a girl, he's going to be Mazal with a girl at the age of 5, so she's not so surprised. Like it's not like out of her understanding that. That she sees her. Her other friend in kindergarten is married, so it's not like crazy for her. But I think the shidduch class is now. It starts already in first grade. Anyone's already in second grade, it's too late. But Rav Moshe says, Bizmanazeh, when no one's getting married at the age of 5, Rav Moshe says, you're going to start off with a girl who's 5 years old, so she's going to think this is really Yetzim and Akal. This is something very, very different. No one else seems to be doing this. So kids had to talk. So she's going to start to talk about it. So did Rav Moshe again? She tells her. Rav Moshe says, the girl's talking. That's a deterrent. So again, this is not Pilate B'ir. This is not Pesach B'tuch. This is not Ishta Imo. This is a child talking with a deterrent. That's similar a little bit to the law type of a thing. So a guy's gonna sit there, he's gonna shake, you know. If to be mizana with a 14-year-old girl, even though right legally he'll also be locked up, but you know, 14 years old, unfortunately, that's such a mechudish to think. She's not gonna necessarily talk about it. But the 5-year-old, she thinks it's something which is really mechudish there, so she'll talk about it. So that'll go for service at the Torah. So Maisha has that tremendous chiddush. We basically change the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch said 3, no, but it's not as bad. It's, I don't know, 10, I don't know, 11, 12, I don't know, whatever the age it is. I don't know if Moshe really asking them with the mice, I'm not sure. But putting aside that Moshe, in Shulchan Aruch, it says at the age of 3, it's already a problem. The Gemara speaks about a katan sometimes helping out in terms of yichud. Katan serving as a shomer. That if a katan's at a certain age, it has to be really, it's a very small window of opportunity. That the katan is, on the one hand, not a mamash baby. If something's mamash baby, a katan or a katan is mamash baby, so then they lamal of a murder, they don't know what's going on. If they're already old enough to be most rachman labia, means they'll also get into the act, so then they're not going to serve as a shomer. So let's say you might have yichud, one man and one woman, and you have a little girl together with you. So the little girl is, let's say, 6 years old. So 6 years old, she may be what the Gemara calls a yodas tambia. I mean, she understands a little bit, not too much, but she understands a little bit. The einam osaras asma labia. On the other hand, she's not old enough to have a taiva that she's going to want to go along with this. So she's going to watch the couple be mezana, and then she's going to blab about it. So the Gemara says that's okay. That's a shomer. So that shomer can solve the problem. That can be matter in a sense in this yichud. What would otherwise constitute a yichud, and if a child deals right smack in the middle between those ages, that the yodas tambia, the animal says asma labia. The problem is, what age does that mean? Lamais on the calendar, how old is such a child? So yodas tambia, the post can give like a shara. Let's say a kid, it's a 2-year-old kid, runs around without any clothes on. He doesn't understand anything about that area. So he's like, Kodim Achei, Lo Yis Boshasha, so the kid doesn't understand. Once the child's old enough to realize that he's not supposed to be walking around undressed, so that may be like an indication that he's already enough of a Yodas Tambiyah. That means if he'll see grown-ups undressed, he'll realize there's something funny going on, so he'll start talking, he'll start blabbing about it. So that's already reached the Shia that he could serve as a shomer. So that's a good way to try to be Mishayer. But the kid's already old enough that he doesn't run around, it doesn't come into the door, whatever. So that's on the lower end of the spectrum. On the older end of the spectrum, at what age do we say that she's Moseret Asma Labia? At what time does she, what age do we say that she's already, she'll go along also? So this may also change a little bit of time and place. That here the poskim say that unfortunately, by Vereset Harabim, that the age of Nus may start a lot younger than it did in the olden days. So here also, the poskim have started off with the first thing we critiqued at the beginning. Those who were saying that those who have outside influences and don't look sharem bisman is there. So they say, well, any girl, even though she's at the age of 8, but she's already gone to see certain things that are inappropriate. So she already knows more. At the age of 8, she knows more than her great-grandmother knew at the age of 18. So she's already potentially in Moseret Asma Labia. So it's a hard line. It's a very, very depends on when she'll age you off. So it's a tough window of opportunity to know exactly, you know, at what age it's helpful to be right smack in the middle in order to solve the other problem.
What 2 girls should have?
No, this is better than 2 girls, because here the second girl is not going to go along. The reason why one man and 2 women is also is because both women are going to go along. Here the girl is not going to go along. Ain't a Moseret Asma Labia. She's not interested, but she'll talk. So she'll serve as a shomer. The only thing is, the poskim say, so she'll serve as a shomer. It's the same as 2 men and 1 woman will serve. One man will serve as a shomer for the other. But if the Laila, one shomer is not good enough. At night, we're afraid one of the shomer is going to fall asleep. So here also, we're afraid that the katan is going to fall asleep. So you would require a second shomer. You would need 2 katanim at night in order to solve the problem.
If she's not Moseres, why is there an Isser Yichud with her alone?
Because she's not Moseres, but still... Still may fall in. It's enough. It's on the borderline. It's enough that there's a chashash, but it's not enough that she's going to go along with somebody else.
Does anything just bring down the idea that the kid might wake up?
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says it's non-shayna, so you have to create. He's a kind of shiloh. Let's say very often you go on a date, you come back, and you come to the house at 2 o'clock in the morning. You sit down on the you want to be nice, you walk through the open door. If you want to be extra nice, so you'll walk inside. Let's say you actually run out a few times, so you maybe sit down, so offer you a piece of cake or something, whatever. And you're sitting and talking. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and there's nobody up. So the question is that mutzar? Is that mutzar or not? So, Kach Mekublani from my dating days. So I have the following Masaira. The Masaira is, from my Ravayim, is that parents of the girl are never sleeping. You may think they're sleeping, but they're not sleeping. Yesh lismay chalzeh afilu b'yichud yaraisa.
Any Zepuskim ever mention the fact that young children, even though they might potentially want to talk, but they're often put under pressure not to
psychologically? I mean, not to talk, because they won't talk. I don't know, I mean, the Gemara has this idea, so, mishtamim mizman is that. Still, the kids babble, all right, eventually the story does get out. So even if the parent will, intimidate them, the adult will intimidate them, and they'll probably come out in some other way. So mishtamim, that svar is still applies. Okay, anyway, we'll take a couple of questions, and we'll down the list. Yes. The pashtus in the Gemara, it would appear, is the znus itself. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say anything about the chibur
v'nishah. What about a man, an actor, three women, and one like a mother daughter?
I mean, does that help? I mean, if you have a relative, so could.
Like you're not related to them, like you and
a mother and daughter, that was not going to happen. Mother and daughter is not going to happen. If you have women, hasonas do as you. If you have women who hate each other, so that'll be okay. Because from the Chamish Nashim, if you have, let's say, stepdaughter, those kinds of relationships, or sisters-in-laws, but that doesn't apply to Zmanazeh, because if we don't give them anyway, if you have Tsaros, Tsaros Luzu, which doesn't apply to Zmanazeh. The Luyatsu, you have women who are Sonos, from the official women who are Sonos Luzu, so then you assume that one's not going to want to be Mazana, but the other one's there because they're going to snitch on them. So
there's still a chance a woman and her daughter are going to be Mazana.
I think so. There's no heter of. A daughter and a mother.
Yeah.
The only when they're in that unique relationship that they hate each other. I thought you were asking me whether if I have a, let's say I'm having yichud with three, with a couple of women, and one of the women happens to be my relative, one of the women is my mother, or one of the women is my daughter, one of them is my sister, and there are other women who are asuras to me, that can a karov serve as a shomer also? That's the big machlekes of poskim. But Moshe sounds like he's making that. Somebody asked me shaila last night. I think I have three Yichud last night. I told you, it's a kind of shalos. Someone called me that shalos last night, so the Iker, then Ramesh's maker, shalos. It's not so posh if that's true. A lot of posts can question it. Ramesh seems to be maker on that. We had the shalos. We had the shalos in the summertime. I remember when I was up in camp, and my wife was home. And the kids were with me. And what happened? Yeah, my wife was here and the babysitter was there, and her brother came one night or something. He was sleeping over, and her parents walked for a while over. I don't know where they were. So her brother was staying in the house with her and the non-Jewish babysitter. So the brother and my wife stayed together. It wasn't Bala B'yeh, it was in the Como, she was in Teaneck. But still, so even if she's married, it's mutter, as long as it's Bebek or Rebbe Alma. But the problem was that is there an issue of yichud for him with the babysitter? So him to be together with the babysitter is a problem of yichud. So the question is, can the sister serve as a shomeres? Can the sister serve as a shomeres? So some folks can say that bayom maybe it's good. Some folks have a chiluk. Bayom is balayla. I think the Torah says yichud has such a chiluk. Rav Moshe sounds like a totally mutter. You saw the Shimon Rav Moshe.
The Chazanish is make on this.
Chazanish make it also. Yeah, it's a long ezim kodesh about it.
It's a
chivukos. Yeah. So Rav Moshe Lamais is make, even my sisters, I think Rav Moshe, you could have been mechalik between fathers and daughters, maybe more of a shan, but I think Rav Moshe has the same shit with my brothers and sisters. So I was willing to be make the mamash outright. So remember, my brother-in-law called me and he asked me what the din is. I said, Rav Moshe is make, yo. And then he called me back 5 minutes later that someone else we were speaking to said that it wasn't so posh. And I said, it's not so posh, right? I said, I'll ask Rabbi Willie what he thinks about it. So I remember I brought him over to Sigus Moshe. It's one little enough of me, not long chew by yichud. So So remember, we're reading this together. So yes, it's it. That's it. Rashi sounds like it's tough. He's matir legamrin. Like I said, there's only Yichud Rabbanan here for so many reasons. First of all, it's only the Goya anyway. So it's a worse Yichud Rabbanan. And it's one man and two women, so it could be the Rabbanan squared a little bit. So it's not Kedara Moshe L'smeichelov for Yichud Rabbanan. It's the Yichud Isaac that's Smeichelov. So the night that we were men. That's what I thought you were asking me. You weren't asking me, it's a good question anyway.
Even
well, wait, what time is the Shias left then,
2:40.
2:40. Okay, we may actually go to the limit, yeah. You owe me next semester.
In the clue of Moshe,
is it a Mashena, somebody who's sleeping, so... No, the Heter of may be even better. Because the Heter of if you hold it to such a Heter of Mishamraso, that a relative, the same way that it's mutter for me to be Miyachar with my sister, so the sister could be mafta me to be Miyachar with anybody else, so it's such a good shomer, a sister is such a good shomer, that I'm afraid that even she may wake up. The same way, let's say Ishto Imo. Ishto Imo is a good shomeris even when she's sleeping. So the folks can say that there are different dargas of shomeris. So Ramesh says not only is the sister a shomeris, she's the greatest shomeris. Some folks can say she's a terrible shomeris. She's lo matzino in the Gemara that she's a shomeris. Other folks can say she's a shomeris, like two men and one woman, so it only works by Yod and not by Laila. That was the source of the Torah, so you could quote this Rukshara. And Ramesh seems to say, no, she's such a shomeris. She's like a balabiyah. She's like a ishtayimo. It's such a gavalik shomeris that works even when sleeping.
So is it better than Katan, or the Katan who's in between?
Right, the Katan we assume is in between, right.
So
Katan
who's
Yodea Tavio, right? Yodea Tavio, Yodea Tavio, is one shomer.
So
that would work on a Monday day, right. Unless you have two ketanim, right? If you have two ketanim, then it works. So let's say now, Baruch Hashem, I think I have probably my two older kids are probably, my daughter may be getting out of the range, she may be already exiting the range. But let's say, let's assume they're still probably both in the same range. So let's say when they're both home, let's say I'm stuck with the babysitter or something at night, and my wife goes out somewhere, so I'm not concerned with Yehud, because I have two kids. The baby, the 3-year-old, that doesn't count for class or anything, but it counts, not for this. your kids. So the my daughter and my son, so they can both serve as shomer b'taras katan. Even if my daughter doesn't serve b'taras bash, she could serve still b'taras katan. So now for care, now even if she's too old to serve b'taras katan, she may still serve b'taras bash. So it may be good even, not according to her motion, because I may still have two shomer. Still have my son, until my son gets too old. So I don't have to think about that else. Okay. And by the time he gets old, then the little one will become old enough for him. They always keep him from coming.
Is there a problem with people who are sleeping? Like, can you leave two people sleeping?
You mean, let's say everyone was mutter when they went to sleep, and they went to sleep, and they're going to walk out and cause them to violate Ichor. I don't know. If you don't be a dying, but I don't know. As soon as they get up, they'll be a Mr. Yichud. Make some chapshu. Good. Okay. Good. We'll take one or two more questions after we're done.
The problem of overnight with Pashas of one implying sleep or leaving or whatever is only at night and only with two men and one woman.
Right. Two men and one woman is right.
Oh, there's three men and one woman.
Three men and one woman. So folks, don't make a thing. We're not afraid of talking. We're afraid of too much. Discussion. One more question, and we'll call it a day.
So the
removed by elevators because the only reason you can't
from the
elevator is because
there's
no railway.
Yeah. So how does he bring that to his kids
of
the doctor room when no one's
going to
walk in unless it's
going to
be too long?
Some of
that time
when
he's
tested. The Rebbe says by doctor's even more, he's even more mental, even though there's no one really
going to
come in, but the whole setup is going to lead itself to.
So he's saying that some of these trainings
is
too long and
it'll. I think as Ramosha felt that the doctor's going to lose so much, if he gets caught, it's going to cost him his whole parnasa. I think that's where Moshe writes that the whole context of the doctor's visit is so damaging to him. Okay, I see one guy's mamash. Okay.
Did you mention how long the
shiur
is?
Yeah, I didn't mention it. I didn't mention it because it's not clear if there is a shiur. I tried to mention it. It's unclear. Many people can say there's no shiur. Many people can say there's mamash. Even a mashu is also. But Moshe seems to suggest he talks about the shiur in terms of shiur. They live close. And, you know, the same shiur yichud like by yichud rooms. But Ramesh himself writes that it'd be in a situation where it could easily become, it could easily turn into a shir yichud, so it may even be also mitchila. So to try to avoid, it's not so posh, there is a cutoff point in terms of a shir yichud. Okay, so that's it. Pasha. Come to Burger Fever Shabbos, sir, Pasha.
Yeah. Hashem supposed to get us to turn the lights on the car.
Lights on. Thank you for dropping.
I think so.